you may find a miracle or two happens. And if it does, please call us at the station or write me at marciadi2002@yahoo.com. And I want to remind our listeners of a few announcements. I'm going to be offering some classes in Reiki toward the end of the month, and it will be on the last week in the month. Full moon is the always ideal time to intentionalize your or crystallize your intentions for the new year and start new adventures. So the 28th of January, the 29th in there, I'm going to be offering Reiki Level 1 and 2. And I also am offering an angelic Reiki reunion on the 20th of January, those of you who've taken angelic Reiki. So any of you angels listening, please call in the angels. I'm calling Archangel Michael in right now. And I remind you of the message that he recently gave concerning the healing of cancer. And he said that the healing of cancer takes place through herbs, through emotional healing, and through energy healing. And those are alternatives that are available through Richard's work as well. And before I introduce Richard and quantum energy healing, which is a really awesome and a very impressive form of healing that I'm interested in taking now that I've read the book, the book is called Quantum Touch, The Power to Heal. And Richard was evolving the acclaimed quantum touch healing technique that today is practiced by 1,400 certified practitioners around the globe in 50 countries. Doctors were saying it was impossible to permanently align the occipital bone, the base of the skull, and pelvic torsion, twisted hips, where one is higher than the other. Well, anyway, it became apparent that Gordon's technique was working. So I, without too much further ado, I just want to welcome you, Gordon, to the show, and I'm thrilled to have you with us, and thank you for sending out healing energy, as I am, to all of our listeners all over the globe this evening.
Well, thank you, Marcia. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have read your book and have you in person talking to you.
Well, which one of my books?
Well, we're talking about quantum touch this evening.
Oh, okay.
And then
very
touching
good
into the secret nature of matter. So
excellent.
I have to admit that I was more, you know, in tune with the quantum touch, and wherever you want to go with your quantum touch healing and explain to our listeners the basic principles of how did you ever get started, by the way, Richard?
Well, back when I was about 24, over 40 years ago, my health was getting worse and worse. So I went to a doctor and he said, yeah, you got a lot of symptoms, but let's wait till you get worse so I can really treat you.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that's probably the stupidest advice I had ever heard. And let's wait till the engine blows up before we figure out to change the oil or a gasket or something.
Yeah, good point.
So I went to a holistic health school. I studied herbal medicine and therapeutic massage and some other stuff. And they brought in some practitioners of polarity therapy, and I was completely blown away with energy healing. I ended up writing a book on polarity therapy that was a bestseller throughout the 1980s. And that book was called Your Healing Hands. But a few months before it was released in 1978, that dates me now, what happened was I went to a workshop with this man named Robert Rasmussen. And he had never taught a class. He had been using a technique he invented himself and had been using for over 20 years. And he was booked up solid for like a year in advance for people who wanted sessions. And he was this obese, blasé grandpa who told tall tales. I didn't believe anything he said. He talked about dissolving a tumor the size of a grapefruit in an hour and a broken bone that spontaneously healed in a couple hours and on. I thought, okay, this guy's just making up stuff. But he demonstrated in front of the room on my girlfriend, and we looked at her scoliosis on her back, and he just touched her hips and the hips rolled back into alignment. Then he touched her cranial bones and they moved, and the shoulders. And And within about 8 or 10 minutes, she was at least 50% straightened out, and my jaw was on the floor, assuming I would never be able to learn this. But I did learn it. I apprenticed with him. I took over in his retirement. I completely revamped his work. I made it really easy for people to learn how to do this. I took out all the woo factors so that it wasn't, you know, had no woo in it. It was just very clean, straightforward work. So how does it work? It works by stimulating the body's own self-healing mechanism. And to do that, we access what they call the life force energy. This is the prana, the chi, the ki, whatever word you use.
Correct, yeah.
Dr. Beverly Rubick found 78 words that different cultures use to describe it. But our modern scientists like to call it woo or placebo or bogus or other such names. And they refuse to study it because it doesn't fit their belief systems. So they ignore it. But anyway, what we do is we just use breathing and body awareness. There's no attunements. There's no magical symbols. There's no nothing. We just raise our own vibration through the breathing and body awareness. So we're bringing the energy. We're working the whole time, which is very different than Reiki because you're just waiting for energy, but we're bringing it. And then you hold the parts that need holding. We sandwich the places that need healing between our hands. And then we recognize that there's a process of what we call resonance and entrainment. That means the two vibrations are going to come together, the practitioner and the client.
The client, entrainment would be the client then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the client will entrain to the vibration of the practitioner. They will match the vibration. When things vibrate at different frequencies, either the lower frequency will match the high one will match the low one, or they're going to meet in the middle. If they meet in the middle, the practitioner feels drained. If the low one comes up to meet the high one, the practitioner is energized and so is the client. We like to say the definition of a healer is someone who is very sick and got well quickly, because ultimately all healing is self-healing. If you cut your finger, how are you going to heal it? I don't know. I don't have that level of intelligence to know how to put cells back together again and to heal a paper cut. It's way beyond me. However, the body and spiritual intelligence is very good at that stuff. So what we're really doing is stimulating the body's own self-healing mechanism. And we have a very effective way of doing it. So we just conducted a clinical study with people who had very high levels of pain. And we had 41 people in the study with 50 major pain conditions. Now, these pain conditions were primarily arthritis, fibromyalgia, or from an accident.
Mm-hmm. Now, so that's extreme pain, yeah.
Yeah, these are really high levels. Now, all of the 50 pain conditions, all 50 responded to the energy. Placebos tend to work about a third of the time. This was 100% of the pain conditions responded. And the average pain relief was better than 67%. So this has been published.
You can't do that for natural healing. I mean, I love Reiki for the same reason. Can I divert for a moment and ask you what you think the differences or the similarities with the Reiki would be?
Oh, yeah.
Since I agree with you with raising the client's vibration to the level of the practitioner.
Yeah,
and I agree with you that the definition of a healer is somebody who's come through a very serious whatever and self-healed, which is what I've done. So
exactly.
I think that those two concepts are very important. I'd like you to stress what you're doing in your work with that.
So here's the differences between Reiki and quantum touch. The first difference is that we have no symbols, attunements, or levels, or we don't call people masters. Another difference is that we are working hard, not sweating, but we're really working the whole time we're giving a session. We're not waiting for the energy to come up. We're bringing it because we're always doing the breathing and body awareness exercises the whole time, and we keep lifting our energy higher and higher and higher. So another difference is we tend to see phenomenon that the Reiki people are unfamiliar with. For example, before lunch break on the first day of a quantum touch workshop, everybody can move the energy powerfully enough that you can move bones back into alignment with light touch. And I would give people money back guarantees that that would happen. And no one ever failed because it is just immediate. And another difference is because we're raising our vibration, you really can't feel tired or drained. If a Reiki practitioner steps out of love, gratitude, joy of doing the work and gets into, oh my God, I've got so many bills and I'm late for my appointment or whatever other kinds of pain or self-pity vibrations they can get into, they have the possibility of matching the vibration to some extent of the client, in which case those practitioners may feel drained or tired. And one time I gave a lecture to about 75 Reiki people, and most of them were third degree or masters. And I just said, show of hands, how many of you from time to time feel drained or tired after a Reiki session? At least half the people raised their hands. So
that's interesting. I have to disagree there respectfully. I never feel drained. I always feel the Reiki coming into me as
well. That's right.
But that's the principle of what your healing is doing. So
but here's the
we're
thing.
In agreement.
The reason you do and other people don't is because you're not losing touch with that angelic gratitude that you feel for being able to help somebody.
That's right. Yes,
yeah. And I know this because the people who are not able to maintain that mindset while they're doing the work will start to match the vibration of the person they're working on.
Mm-hmm.
And fully half the people who do this time to time report that they get tired. But one way not to get tired is if you maintain the high vibration by staying connected to the love, the compassion, the gratitude, and all that good stuff.
Beautifully said, Richard. Beautifully said. That's, I hear the applause of the angels behind me with that one. That is so perfect.
Yeah.
And so here's the
other thing. I've been able to do quantum touch when I was severely depressed and have spectacular results because...
Really?
Yes. By raising my energy the whole time, there's only one place for the other person to go, which is to raise their vibration. And we can do it manually through the breathing and body awareness and get some absolutely spectacular results that are just so outside the box of what people expect.
Now, I'm really curious. I noticed in the book there were actual pictures of people with severe scoliosis.
Yeah.
And then the before and after picture, and then the after the session picture, it shows the spine much less showing scoliosis, almost nearly straightened or a slightly S-curve, but very significant improvement. How does the quantum energy, I guess you can't really answer this question, but I have an analytical mind sometimes.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, I mean, how does the quantum move, say, for instance, the hip bones or the spinal alignment spontaneously?
That's
fascinating.
Of course. We like to call it quantum touch. Otherwise, if people look up quantum, they'll never find it. But with quantum touch, what we do is by raising the vibration of the practitioner really, really high, then, and having the intention, the person you're working on, their body and spiritual intelligence, goes to work to move that. How that happens, way beyond my pay grade to understand how that occurs, but it is the body and spiritual intelligence doing the work.
Uh-huh.
Because all healing is body and spiritual intelligence doing the work. And whether you're taking drugs or whatever it is, there's no healer except the body. The body is doing the healing. And so we're providing the energy and the intent to allow a person's body to move into what I call an extraordinary self-healing mode. And just recently, I put this together in my mind. There are three ways to trigger that extraordinary self-healing response. And the first way that everybody's familiar with is a placebo. Through suggestion, deception, dishonesty, it's possible to convince a person through a false belief that they're going to get well and their body can respond, and that tends to work about one third of the time. The second pathway to stimulate that self-healing response is with energy healing, such as Reiki or quantum touch. The third avenue to trigger it is what I like to use if the first two aren't providing lasting results. Actually, I don't even use the first one. I don't use placebos. But if the energy healing isn't going to do the job and create lasting results, then I want to go to the third. And the third is a system that took me 30 years to discover and develop. I call it self-created health. And this is something you alluded to in the introduction, which is dealing with the emotional causes of a condition. Mm-hmm. So what I do is I help a person discover what their emotional causes are. And the way we do that is by asking some very simple, basic interrogative questions and write down everything the person says. And once I have 30 or 40 replies and I've kind of drained them of all their information, I then feed it back to them and say, well, let's see, this started 8 years ago. Was there an emotional situation that had some of these components? And I read their most graphic responses. And they say, well, it kind of sounds like my relationship with my ex or my dad or something like this. And I'll say, okay, let's see if it fits. And then one by one, I'll read all 40 of their responses and see if it matches that emotional situation. And they'll say, yep, that's a fit. Go right down the line. It's perfect. And then I'll say, what do you do with those emotions? And they always say the same thing. They're the ones I never want to feel. And then I hand them the list and I say, well, maybe you're feeling them in your body instead of feeling them as emotion. And they look that over and go, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty simple, but it's pretty proven theory.
Well, it's not enough, because that first step is just the recognition of what it is. There are six other steps that are needed to finish the job. First step is essential. You got to know what it is. And most people are terrified of the intensity of their emotion. And there's a really good reason for this. Because we're spiritual beings, our love goes all the way to infinity. But our hurt, our pain, goes much deeper than we want to know, much deeper than we're willing to acknowledge that it goes. Mm-hmm. Because the love goes all the way to the edge of infinite. And because we're terrified of the intensity of our own feelings, people bury the feelings and then they continue to feel them over and over. But instead of feeling them as emotion, they feel them in their body. The second step, obviously, is the release. That's necessary. But the danger of release is if you're not skillful, you're just recycling those emotions over and over again, and you're even more connected to those old patterns. The third step is what I call the dangerous step, because if you haven't done the first two effectively, the third step can never be achieved. The third step is where you take responsibility and realize, yeah, they beat me up, but I've been beating myself up ever since. I'm doing this to myself. They did this to me, but I've been holding this vibration and hurting the people that I love ever since. That's the third step, is the realization of self-responsibility. The fourth step automatically begins to happen if you've done the third correctly, which is the remorse. Wow, I really did hurt myself. And a person, all they need to do is sit in the remorse for 5 or 8 minutes or 10 maybe, and just really let it in. Wow, I hurt me. Yeah, they beat me up, but I've been doing it to myself ever since and hurting other people. Really letting that in deeply. The fifth step is where everything turns around, because now when the remorse is so powerful, we move into self-forgiveness. So people will have probably gone to the edge or over the edge of feeling unforgivable when we do this process. And then you bring it into self-forgiveness. And when they do this process, 10, 20 minutes later, 30 minutes later, they pop through self-forgiveness into what can best be described as explosive, overwhelming self-love. Love that can't even be contained. It becomes love of higher self, of God, Goddess, all that is, infinite connection of source, holy moly, just unbelievable. And oh, by the way, the symptoms disappeared. Oh, by the way, the body got well. Oh, by the way, because it doesn't even matter. What matters is that we connected back to source again. And the realization from this is that every single microscopic aspect of the condition was so beautifully orchestrated to remind us of how we stop feeling our emotions and how we stop loving. The body has the ability to be sick, not as a dysfunction, but a communication from your own higher consciousness. And then you realize the universe was giving us a gift, although it's not a gift we really like to receive. It's a gift because you had a higher priority than being well. You had a priority to heal and bring the love back. That's why quantum touch is probably the fastest, most effective analgesic and stimulator of healing. But if you want to get down to the bottom of it, we need to go much deeper.
That's very interesting. You're combining the psychological aspects of illness, because I also work in hypnosis, and frequently I've helped other breast cancer patients as myself. Mm-hmm. And I first helped myself to work through some things, and I feel that sometimes cancer has a lot of components emotionally that have to do with buried emotion. So I knew that, and I suspected that, and I started working with my higher self and my angels, who told me that I was holding in anger, which I wasn't aware of. So that was one thing. But I did a lot of, you know, self-talk with my hypnosis, but over time I came to recognize it in other people that I was helping. They had specific family issues that related directly to the cancer. And whichever breast they got the cancer in was corresponding to other factors and so on. Now, you know, some people will open up and let you work, and then you get to it. You know, I've gotten to a precipice with certain individuals that I worked with breast cancer, and they didn't want to go any farther, like, say, going into the inner child or something like that.
Exactly.
So they get to a point, they realize that there's a psychological, emotional component, and then they shut down, you know. So this is different. I've, you know, worked with hypnosis and Reiki combined, and I think it's very similar with what I'm doing. But a lot of people don't want to share the negative aspects of their own emotions, yet they'll put it out all over Facebook.
Of course.
So weird. All these hateful political posts that I see all over Facebook all the time. It's
such a bunch of rot.
But they'll complain about somebody publicly, which is so inappropriate. And
It's just avoiding responsibility. The bottom line is, our love goes deeper than we can know, but our hurt goes deeper than we want to know. So people avoid feeling the intensity of emotion because it feels safer somehow. But what they're really doing is they're blocking themselves from the deeper healing. And it's an act of courage. It's great courage to be willing to look in the places where you don't want to have to feel. It's like, you know, when a person has frostbite, the most painful thing is to warm them up again, because all the nerves have to come back. And that's sort of what happens when people have been shamed or blamed or punished or broken or traumatized, and you start bringing that back to life, everything opens up. But so does the spectacular connection to who you really are, because people forget who they are. They forget
that
they're
this. Sort of like the full spectrum of color. You, all of a sudden you see everything in living color instead of in just gray, I think, you know.
Exactly.
That's brilliant. I like your method. I'm very intrigued. And when is your next class being held? I heard you on Patty Malik the other day, and she has a special. Are you doing an online training, or do you do it?
There is an online training where people can learn the basic quantum touch method online. We've got certified practitioners in over 50 countries. We got instructors all around the world who are teaching it. I think our website's in 7 or 8 languages now. So quantumtouch.com is the place people can look for resources. And we have a lot of teachers also teaching the emotional work, the self-created health class. I teach them from time to time. I usually do it as a teleseminar, and I break it up into a couple weeks so that people have a lot of practice time to work with themselves. And a lot of people will be able to take the responsibility and go all the way through it. Other people take it part way, and they know what the work is they have to do, but they're not willing yet. And that's okay. Mm-hmm, yeah. And some people put it off and say, well, I'll do it when I'm ready. And that's fine too, because as long as you're making a conscious choice, you're in a position of power. If you say, I can't, or I don't know how, there's no power there. So what happens is I teach people the roadmap and the tools and skills they need to do to be able to do that. But back to quantum touch, it is such a primary human ability that, although most people don't want to become practitioners, and that makes sense, everybody would want to know how to do this on loved ones for 5 or 10 days out of the year, because it becomes the most valuable skill that you have to be able to care for somebody you love in this extremely powerful and meaningful way to relieve their suffering.
Yes, that's very, very true. And I do regular Reiki with friends and family as well as clients. And, you know, if you're intimate with another person, I think it can be more powerful. But, you know, I work a little differently, but it's all a little different. But I'm very curious. You know, you have a very analytical mind, and you also have a very curious mind, and you've been performing experiments on matter and water and sending healing into the guitar. I read about that. I thought that was very funny. So if you could explain some of your experiments that you've been doing.
Yeah, my latest book, I wrote mostly for myself because it was the thing that was most inspiring to me. I call it The Secret Nature of Matter because through experimentation, I was able to discover the intersection of matter and consciousness. Now, I do it through something most people don't care about, but when Galileo saw the Earth went around the sun, he couldn't see that directly through a telescope, and the way he could figure it out is by looking at the phases of Venus and then doing the math. I'm using two things that appear to be physiologically impossible, which is untwisting the cranial bones and the hip bones in about 1 second without any force or suggestion. And that's my little window, my keyhole to look through to understand the nature of matter and consciousness. So I found out that I could put energy and tension. Well, first I could do it without touching people. I learned that about 10 years ago. And I wrote a book called Quantum Touch 2.0, The New Human, that outlined a whole series of new human abilities we didn't know we had. But then I found out that I could put that same energy and tension into any kind of physical object, glass, plastic, rubber, paper, leaf, bone, anything you can find. All matter is equally able to hold energy and intention. And then if I just hand somebody that object with intention, it will immediately do things that chiropractors can't even imagine, which is untwisting a person for the rest of their life without any force.
Now, I've seen the pictures in the book, and I'm very curious and impressed. And then you said something about putting energy into leather, and leather would hold the energy. And
it was quite the opposite.
I have a curiosity about that because I have suffered epilepsy the last 15 years or so, and I had a brain tumor as well. So, you know, I fully recovered from that, but have epilepsy as a result too. And I heard an Indian say that you needed to grab a hold of a belt when you had an epileptic fit. And I was thinking, oh, that's really sounding far out until I read your book. So I don't know.
Actually, when I wrote the Quantum Touch Powered Heal book quite a while ago, I had been taught that the energy did not pass through leather easily. And I did some experiments. And indeed, it was difficult to run the energy through leather. And yet now that we've learned what we call the level 2 quantum touch, where you don't even have to touch, leather becomes irrelevant. And I haven't, you know, it's funny, I never did a test to see if I could charge leather and have it work, but I'm sure it'll work now.
You've been experimenting with other types of objects and
every kind of object I can think of. Yeah. You see, all matter is capable of holding energy and intention equally. That's been the result of my experimentation. That suggests that all matter is made of something I'll come up with a scientific term for. I'll call it subatomic God stuff. Everything is made of the essence that holds consciousness. All matter is probably made of consciousness. Yeah, it's all God stuff. Everything is made of God stuff. And therefore, we're spiritual beings living in a spiritual reality. And this is why modern science won't look at my findings, because it violates many of their core assumptions. A fundamental assumption of modern science is everything real can be measured or put into a mathematical formula. Well, you can't put love, compassion, or gratitude in a formula, because it's a spiritual energy. The life force energy, the prana, the chi, the ki, whatever word we're using for that life force energy, is a non-physical energy, which is why you can send it to somebody on the other side of the world or on the moon. It wouldn't really matter how far away they were, because it isn't electromagnetic. It isn't physical. It's a non-physical energy that moves with love and intention, because we're already connected.
Energy. It's subatomic, tiny particles of subatomic matter that,
it isn't. It's not matter. That's the whole point, is that the energy is not physical. It's not any kind of matter whatsoever. It's coming from, you can think of it like coming from another dimension that can have an impact on us. But just like gravity has an impact on the planet, but gravity isn't matter. Gravity isn't physical. The energy is not physical. And all these people want to say, oh, the energy is electromagnetic, or it's this, or it's subatomic. No, the energy is a non-physical energy that's part of our spiritual nature.
Well, that would be defining the soul almost, you know?
Yes.
The soul is a non-physical entity of vast, beautiful proportions. It's an aspect of the spark of God, kind of. It's really quite a celestial thing. And I'm surprised that science, with all the quantum physics that they're doing now, that science isn't more interested in your experiments in your book, The Secret Nature of Matter, because it's so very evident. I mean, you look at the evidence of the pictures in your book, and it's very interesting. I mean, getting a spinal alignment like that just spontaneously with touching or without touching.
Yeah, I spoke at the University of Hong Kong and the University of Macau, and I did demonstrations on stage. The first time I gave talks there, I aligned a whole stage of people by meditating, and I did it out loud. It's, okay, I'm looking at everybody. I'm joining them together in my mind. I'm focusing on the bone behind the nose and eyes called the sphenoid. Now I'm going to meditate on the bone, and 5 seconds later, everybody on stage was aligned. Then the next time I came in there, I had been working on my experiments, and I just had 20, 25 people holding hands. Very simple. I took out a penny I had meditated on, and I just flicked it across a couple hairs on the woman at the beginning of the line, just flip like that, and everybody's spontaneously aligned at once. I have shown this to scientists and skeptics, and you know what they do? They run away. They say, well, if I let myself believe this, everything I know about science would fall like a house of cards. Well, as an empirical scientist, don't you want to let the cards fall where they will? The guy says to me, not today.
That's the whole thing. It's empirical evidence. It's just like spiritualism. There's tons of evidence for the existence of the afterlife, and all of my books are channeled evidence with factual things that you can go back and reference from words from the late Princess Diana or the late John Lennon and George Harrison and Archangel Michael. And I even went back on my work, and what I channeled, some of it was prophetic in nature, and some of it came true. So it's like, how do you explain spiritualism? It's the same kind of phenomenon. You know, how do you explain speaking to the higher realms and getting clear and accurate pictures and impressions and verbiage? That's what I do, and I can't explain that secret. But, you know, I think we're dealing in the same realm. It's just,
yes.
I wonder why, because you're very science-oriented. You're much more analytical in your approach to healing than I am. But I just wonder, with the empirical evidence that you've collected, you know, I would have thought somebody like Noetic Science would have picked you up by now.
Yeah, I've been in touch with Dean Radin at Noetic Science, and... What will get his attention, he read my book, he said, it's really great, except that I don't know it's true, so let's wait till you give me some hard physical evidence. And so what I'm going to do is we're going to do a preliminary experiment soon where we're going to take a series of CT scans, and he'll be able to see the bones moving. And then he'll believe it. And then he said, once I see hard evidence, then I have to replicate it and try to make it fail. And if it still works, I'll believe it. So we're probably a year or two away from noetic science picking up on it. But what I'm talking about is so far beyond what noetic science has noticed or paid attention to or believes that I'm kind of in that no man's land where we're doing things that the world doesn't think possible.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I think, you know, this new age holds so much hope and so much promise. If we take our knowledge and our intuition and harness it to the power of science, then we've really got something. I mean, I've heard from the late Bob Murray, who's the medium that creates the music for the show, and he's met with Steve Jobs on the other side. And according to Bob, Steve Jobs is working on some sort of device so people in heaven can communicate with those on the earth plane. And it's going to be a concrete device that he's going to channel through one of his top scientists out at Apple somehow.
Well,
so
good luck with that one.
Yeah, I know. But it's very interesting because I think all of this deserves credit, and your research deserves credit. Spiritualism deserves credit. And I think someplace in the near future, it will offer a great deal of hope and consolation for those that have lost loved ones. Without having to go to a medium, they will be able to use a device. And perhaps with healing, there will be a lot more longevity, and older folks like us can live longer and have greater hope and meaning in our lives as we age without the deleterious effects of aging, et cetera, or disease. So, I mean, this is very, very useful information. And empirically, to me, I had no question in my mind that you were sincere and you were doing science-based, evidence-based experimentation with all of your experience. And it's just, I'm still in a conundrum about a spinal alignment. I want to get one tonight.
Well,
can we send out a spinal alignment to everyone listening on the call that would like to have?
Yeah, we can do that. First off, why don't you stand up and put your hands on your hip bones and see if you can feel if one side's higher. And if you can't, put your hands under the base of the skull and lift up on the bone on left and right side and see if you can feel one side is higher.
Well, I know my hips are out of alignment.
Okay, well, I'll just meditate on you right now. So can you put your hands there where you're touching the hip bones anyway, while you're standing? Can you do that?
Yeah, I'm I'm holding the receiver, so I can't.
Okay, so you can't do that. I'll line you anyway right now. It just takes about 3 seconds. Here I go. Okay, that's done. Some people can feel it, some can't, but I made a video called Quantum Touch Pendant Demo.
Okay,
where we have
there. You adjusted it, Richard. Thank you.
I have people feeling the back of their skull, and then they just break out laughing as I have them lift their thumbs and put them right back because the whole shape of their skull just changed shape. But you wrote me that, I've been practicing on guitar, and you wrote me something about John Lennon. And I was really surprised you wrote that because I've been learning how to play a lot of John Lennon songs lately.
Well, he's apparently influencing you because he sent me a little note prior to the show that he was interested in working with you somehow or helping you on some of your chords. I mean, I'm not a musician. I channel his words and lyrics.
Yeah, I mean, I am just so impressed with some of the compositions and the harmonies of John Lennon's music now, and I've just got myself an electric guitar, and I've been learning how to play some of his iconic pieces, and they're really challenging and incredibly beautiful, especially when you're doing it yourself and not just listening. You actually enter into it more fully. So I was kind of surprised that you mentioned John Lennon because very few people are studying the guitar work of John Lennon, and I am.
It's interesting. My husband is studying the guitar work of John Lennon, but he hasn't turned on to the music that we're playing on the Peaceful Planet. I said, well, the next step, you know, is to learn our songs and I'll put you on the show. He doesn't want to go on the show.
Well,
he's an amateur,
here's another
but
thing.
But he's having fun with it.
If you learn to raise the energy high enough, I believe it can have a slowing the aging process and not only a healing response, but an asyntropy response. In other words, all disease and all aging of cells is a function of entropy, going from order to disorder. But all healing is going from disorder to order. It's what I call syntropy or negentropy. And what I've done is I've been running the energy very actively for 40 years now. And I know my aging process has slowed. I don't think I've stopped it or reversed it yet, although I'm working on that. I turned 70 this year. And
wow.
I have no pain in my body. I have no joint immobility. I am stronger than I've ever been in my life. My waist is about 2 inches smaller than I was in high school, but my strength is about four times stronger than when I was in high school.
Really?
And
well, you're still working out then, apparently,
Yeah. I got into a golf tournament, and I won the tournament a year ago.
Wow.
And they carded me. They looked at my driver's license. They wasn't sure if I was over 50. And they wanted to make sure that I could enter the senior tournament. And they were pretty shocked that I was almost 70, and they wanted to make sure if I was 50 or not. So I'm
That's
pretty
funny.
Sure
That's so funny.
That the process...
Well, I'm the same weight that I was when I was 18, but
well,
not
cool.
the same shape. And I'm still able to exercise and do all the things that I want to do, but I don't have the stamina that I once did. So I think doing more energy healing will help by working on other people and working on myself. But I don't find as much success working on myself. I set the intention to move the occipital ridge into the right place.
Yeah, right.
But since I haven't taken the class, I don't know if I could actually do that. But I asked my chiropractor about that this week when I saw him. And he said, well, we have some chiropractors that we know where you can, they can work with the head, you know. And that I was thinking that moving the occipital ridge might help me with the epilepsy that I have. It's
well,
not
it
serious,
might.
But,
we've already done it, and it'll probably last the rest of your life because I worked on a bone behind the nose and eyes called the sphenoid bone, which is where I brought my attention. And so this could easily have that kind of impact that it could potentially affect seizures, but I don't have enough evidence yet to make that kind of claim.
Well, I was just very curious because I can feel my bones in the skull, and since I've had brain surgery and everything, they've probably been moved around a little bit. And I don't know if, you know, it would be healthy or not for me to move them, but I like them in the perfect order that they were meant to be in. That's my
opinion. They're in there now because what happens is there's a bone behind the nose and eyes called the sphenoid bone. It's the first bone in the embryo. It's the bone that touches all the other cranial bones. The sphenoid and the heart are the first parts of the embryo. Then people are born with it out of alignment, and nobody knows why. And if you can get the sphenoid back into alignment, the hips reflexively just move back into alignment. And on top of that, all the cranial, it touches all the other cranial bones, so all the other cranial bones move into alignment. And that takes 2 or 3 seconds with a meditation if you're good at it. Or we have these quantum touch pendants that are entangled with every other pendant. This is one of my great experiments in my last book, where I discovered that you can join objects together in consciousness, and anything you do to any one of the objects happens to them all. So I've joined these together, and now we have over 5,000 healers around the world who are putting their best energy into their own pendant, many of them every day. And so these things become stronger and more amazing every single day. So a few days ago, I was at the dentist getting some work done. And after I finished, I wanted to show the dentist, the dental assistant, and her husband how this worked. And so they measured each other, and they could see that the hips and the occiput were out of alignment. So I just touched a couple of them with my pendant, and they could measure and totally validate that it had changed. And then I handed the pendant to my dentist and said, listen, all you have to do is touch your husband and have the intention of aligning him. And she says, well, where do I touch him? I said, well, anywhere. You know, his nose, his shoulder, wherever you like. And so she concentrates for a couple seconds, then she touches his shoulder, and then she measures again, and he's totally aligned. These pendants are holding energy healing. Now, they're not the same as a session, but we're hearing crazy results, like
that
somebody wrote
wonderful.
A letter in.
And we've got our signal that we have to. I'm sorry to interrupt you,
it's all good.
Richard, but we are already nearing the end of the show. So as you were saying, this lady did manage to, she didn't, it was just effortless. All she did was touch her husband and he aligned.
Yeah instantly.
Amazing.
Instantly.
So
yeah.
We can find you at quantumtouch.com, correct?
Yeah. That's correct.
And the name of your book, and it's on BBS website on the highlight, is Quantum Touch, The Power to Heal. And then the other book that you've recently released, it's a really great read, The Secret Nature of Matter. Boy, Richard, I could have you on for two or three more hours. You're just so entertaining and wonderful. And thank you for appearing with me this evening. It was a great honor to meet you.
It's been my pleasure.
And hear everything about what you're doing. It's just so exciting. And
fantastic.
Someday, you know, the world will wake up.
Yeah, well, and any decade now, I'll be an overnight success.
I think so. So we're all waking up to the reality that there's more to reality than what meets the eye. And matter probably doesn't really matter in the long run. But for all practical purposes, we're going to close out the show with something for Gossamer Wings. As channeled by George, and thank you so much, Richard, for appearing with us. And please get in touch with Richard and sign up for his course in Quantum Touch and check out his books. And thank you ever so much. It was really a pleasure to speak with you.
Well, thanks again for having me.
Blessings to all and to you particularly. And thank you for the alignment as well. Good night, everyone.